With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here! Beautiful goal!
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 19th of December. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on this week's show, Kieran Gibbs talks about being handed the captain's armband for the first time. I also remember a great moment in the career of the one and only Ian Wright. Adrian Clarke is back with another edition of The Chalkboard. We kick off by looking back at the weekend's action with our intrepid duo of Nick Brumsack and Dan Roebuck.
When the match is over, they're still talking.
Robert, what are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? What are you doing?
I'm sitting here at 8:45 waiting for you.
Well, you know.
Oh, get out.
It's the Weekend Review with Dan Roebuck and Nick Brumsack.
Well, before we look back at the weekend, let's have a quick reminder of what happened last Tuesday at Goodison Park.
There's some tension amongst the Everton fans. Alexis Sanchez will go for goal here. It's taken a deflection and it's gone in. And Arsenal have the lead through their main man, Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah, Ashley Williams there, just can't believe it. But yeah, not quite sure if Stekelenburg probably would have got that quite comfortably. It wasn't the greatest of free kicks, to be fair, but it's ended up in the back of the net and 1-0 Arsenal.
The ball out wide here to Baines. Comes inside Walcott. Baines with his right foot. That's a great delivery and Everton have equalised. Seamus Coleman, the right back, was unmarked and we're 1-1. There's another header, and this time it's in from Ashley Williams. And Everton have turned this around.
Credit Everton, to be fair. They've looked promising in the second half. They've taken the game to Arsenal. Really, you could say the warning signs were there.
Oh, frustration there for the Gunners, having taken the lead. Nick and Dan alongside me. And Dan, we'll go to you first. That the first of two setbacks. We'll focus there. And that Seamus Coleman goal really changed the momentum of that match, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the timing of the goal, I think, killed the Gunners as well. But having said that, I didn't think Everton played particularly well. They didn't have to. Arsenal were, unfortunately, under par on the night. Very, very disappointing to go in front. Everton, we know, were in poor form. I think they'd won just one of their previous 9 or 10 or something like that. Ronald Koeman was under pressure. And the Everton fans got on the Everton team straight away. Lots of nervousness at the back. Certainly from Ashley Williams, had a shocker of the first 15 minutes. Obviously ended up scoring the winner, his first goal for Everton. But I thought that Everton were there for the taking. When you're a goal to the good, it was hugely frustrating to see us peg back and then eventually lose the game. And it was a really frustrating and disappointing night all round.
And also, just while we're on that, Dan, what do you feel it was? I know it's very hard to put one specific finger on it, but losing the momentum, the impetus in that game, and it happened very quickly, the momentum shift, I felt, watching the match.
Yeah, it did, and it's difficult to put your finger on it. Ronald Koeman said after the game that we just got in Arsenal's faces a bit more. We're a bit more aggressive. We took the game to them, and that's true. There was a bit of a running battle between Ross Barkley and Granit Xhaka for much of the game. He was niggly, he was pushing, he was pulling, he was fouling. And they did get into Arsenal's faces, and maybe they just realised that Arsenal were a little bit timid into the second half, and they scored when they did, just before the break. And you just felt that maybe Arsenal backed off a bit too much and didn't match Everton for physicality. And you've got to earn the right to play, as all co-commentators tell me, you know, and then your quality comes through. And maybe we were just back down a little bit, and that momentum shift was crucial. And then they got the chance late on. Wasn't great that we've seen us concede for a corner. I think that was the first time this season that we have done. We switched off a little bit. Two headers from Everton defenders. There's a lot of question marks there, I thought. And yeah, it was just a wholly disappointing evening on Merseyside.
And Nick, in light of what Dan's just said there, reviewing the match and what kind of went wrong, do you feel there's an excessive backlash, an excessive reaction, saying that maybe we're looking at the same old frailties of Arsenal that we've seen in years and maybe months gone by?
Perhaps. I think looking at the Manchester City game more, it was pretty much more of the same from what Dan mentioned of what we saw at Goodison Park, and that's really unfortunate, and it's really frustrating as well. I think when you look at the main players in this league, you look at the big teams, Arsenal have been relatively fortunate with the time frames in which they've played them. You know, you play Chelsea when they're in a bad run and they're still
exploited
playing
that
four
one
in the back.
Least.
Exploited that, yeah, absolutely. But then Tottenham again, no Dele Alli. I think Vertonghen was out as well, or Alderweireld. And again, we just didn't really manage to exploit it properly. The same thing happened, of course, against Manchester City. No Aguero, no Gundogan, no Fernandinho. And unfortunately, the second half performance was similar to the one that we witnessed at Goodison Park. It wasn't really good enough, and it meant that it was another frustrating trip up to the northwest for the fans and the players.
And going back to another of the similarities between the two defeats, obviously ahead and then falling behind in the second half, not being able to get back onto parity. This whole concept of being hurried on the ball, having an opponent that really nips around your heels and gets into your face and takes the onus to you.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Arsene Wenger's spoken a lot about his team's character this season, and to be fair to the team, I think they've really shown it at times, but maybe it was missing a little bit, especially in the last two games, particularly at Manchester City, where I just felt that when City got level, the momentum of that game just completely swung and there was nothing Arsenal could do to change it. You know, they couldn't get Alexis on the ball. City were pushing them so far back deep into their own half, and Arsenal were just losing the ball every single time, and that's really unfortunate. It's really frustrating because Arsenal have got the players in that final third who can punish any team in the world, and we saw that in the first half, but in the second, there just wasn't enough of that. There wasn't enough intensity, I felt, to the play. And interestingly, Arsene Wenger actually said that the team looked a bit tired physically. And I think that certainly showed through in the second 45 on Sunday.
OK,
do you think, Nick, and Russ, for that matter, that you mentioned the tiredness there? And we've not seen as much rotation, have we, for the Premier League games as we have done in previous seasons. I just think maybe that could be a factor. You know, Alexis plays every single game. Mesut's been playing every single game in the Premier League, obviously, in the full 90. We've not seen as much rotation. Sometimes that's because we haven't had the players to come in. But do you think maybe, in hindsight, he would have mixed things up a little bit more?
Yeah, potentially. I think when you've got the likes of Lucas Perez, who scored that hat-trick against Basel, he's barely played since, has he?
Giroud as well, hasn't
Olivier Giroud, yeah. of course, as well. Having said that, with Alexis in the form that he's in, I don't think it would have been a wise decision to have rested him for either of those two games. And I think had Wenger done that, and the results had been the same, we'd all be turning around going, well, hold on a second, why aren't you playing Alexis when he's in the form of his life?
Mm.
Perhaps there's an argument to be made in other positions, certainly. There are some players at the moment, your likes of Coquelin, your likes of Xhaka, who are having to play every week because Ramsey's injured, because Cazorla's injured as well. And of course, the back four, you don't really want to change too much, again, with no Shkodran Mustafi there. It's an interesting point, though, Dan.
Because you know, you mentioned Perez played really well at Basel. Kieran Gibbs had a great game at Basel. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, Nacho Monreal or others have had a huge dip. It's just when you talk about fatigue, you talk about tiredness, then this is where squad rotation comes in. And Giroud's an interesting one. He's got a great record against Man City, 4 goals in his last 4 appearances prior to yesterday. And you could still keep Alexis in the side. You could shut him out to the left-hand side where he has been effective for Arsenal before. And you look at Kolarov and Otamendi at the back for Manchester City. If City are gettable, surely it's that back four that, you know, doesn't scream quality or consistency. And as you mentioned before, it feels like a chance missed a little bit against Manchester.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think if you look at that first half, I felt Alexis was very effective. He dropped deep, as he always does. He set up the first goal for Walcott in a way that Giroud probably wouldn't have done. I mean, Giroud's got a lot of qualities, but I'm not sure that coming back into that number 10 position and playing it to the guys in front of him are perhaps one of his best strengths. So, second half, I'm not sure you can blame that on having Alexis through the middle, because the problem was getting the ball upfield anyway. And when Giroud did come on, Otamendi and Kolarov, I felt, actually shackled him pretty well, particularly in the air.
OK, let's get a couple of bits of post-match reaction to that game then. Peter Cech making a couple of important saves, but unfortunately not enough to stop Arsenal going to that very important defeat, or so it may prove. Let's get Cech's thoughts post-match.
Well, I think what changed was the early goal in the second half. I feel it gave them a lot of confidence, and obviously having been 1-0 down at half-time for them, you know, they had to come back out and put us under more pressure, and unfortunately they managed to score the first goal. And I thought that it gave them confidence, and they pressed us a little bit more. But you know, I thought that we were pretty much in control of the game, even second half when they had more possession. But you know, we couldn't hold on to it. You know, but the second goal obviously changed everything, because they had the advantage and they could defend well and wait for the counter attacks, which is very dangerous. Well, we are very disappointed with the whole week. Obviously, we had two games away, and we wanted to have as many points possible, and we have none. So I know we are very disappointed with that, and we gave the other teams on top advantage. But you know, there's a long way to go, and now we have to come back, ideally win the next game, and then carry, you know, get on the run, and then everything can happen. So you know, we need to concentrate on ourselves, going back to winning games, and then we will see what the others will do.
The views there of Arsenal's goalkeeper. What about the boss himself? Here's Arsene Wenger.
It's terrible, because we didn't look like we could lose this game, you know, and in the second half we come out straight away, we concede an offside goal, and it's not enough, because after we concede another offside goal, and I think it's unacceptable to lose games like that. These referees have to, in recent weeks, we have been absolutely punished by wrong decisions, and but we can only look at ourselves. I think we dropped physically as well in the second half, and maybe the equalizer gave them some courage, you know, and we dropped. Came back in the last 20 minutes, but they killed the game well, you know, they stayed down, they have a lot of experience, and we had to live with that. But I'm, of course, extremely disappointed, but we have to respond to the horrible week. And but as well, some horrible decisions.
The gap is now 9 points. The home form now becomes crucial.
Of course, let's focus on the next game. You know, we have had a very disappointing week. We have played 4 times out of 5 away from home, and we have to respond, recover physically, and respond quickly.
Well, Arsene Wenger pretty candid there, but also trying where possible to look at the positives. And Dan, one of the other issues is various new injuries to add to the mix as well. That option to rotate and freshen, it's not that prevalent and that obvious in certain key areas now.
No, and this has been the problem. We just touched on it before. Suddenly, I don't want to say there's lack of options. It's just we're starting to whittle away at our squad strength all of a sudden. And we've seen it affect other teams as well this campaign. I mean, Manchester United, for one, when you look at the back four that they're playing at the minute, is certainly not first choice. And this is what you've got to cope with. These are the rigours and the demands. And the Premier League, you've got to find a way around it or a way through it. I mean, when you look at the fixtures that are coming up over Christmas, we've got West Brom and Bournemouth and Crystal Palace ahead of, you know, the trip to Preston in the FA Cup. You'd like to think they're all winnable fixtures. And it's always a chance for players to come in and stake their claim. It's always an opportunity. You've got to see it that way. And I'm sure that those fringe first-teamers who will look to come in and will get opportunities will see it that way. We've got to cut our cloth accordingly and hope and believe that we can get through it.
OK, Nick, from what we've just heard there from Dan, how would you assess then this double defeat? Is it a mortal blow, knockout punch, or a body blow and a setback that can still be resolved and Arsenal can still prevail through this and possibly yet win the league?
Well, we're only in December, so it's not a knockout blow at all. I think it's a body blow. It's quite a big body blow, but it's one that the team, I feel, can deal with. You know, we mentioned these games coming up. There's 6 very winnable games. And also, look, 9 days ago, Arsenal were on top of the Premier League. We're all on top of the world thinking, you know, this could be the season. So it's too early, I think, to write the team off. There's a long way to go, a lot of football to be played. But what will be important is how we deal to these setbacks and how we come back from them against West Brom on Boxing Day. Let's not look ahead too much at the other 5. Let's just deal with the next game, try and win that and move on and close the gap.
And Dan, one possible concern for me of all the things we've discussed is with those who were injured
just trying to get the right balance in normally the two players that sit in that deep line midfield role, trying to get the right balance there.
Yeah, and you know, there have been options in the past, and there's not as many options that we've had, obviously, now. And it is getting the balance right. And Arsene Wenger will probably not change the system that he's got, because we know he plays in a certain way, and he'll always do that. And he won't change things around in terms of the way that he plays. But there is enough quality throughout there. And as Nick was pointing out, you know, we're still in December here. We're all too quick, you know, ourselves included, to damn defeats and suggest it's the end of the world. And I know supporters get down about it. We all do. But there's an awful lot of football to play. I know it's a cliche, but, you know, I know that Chelsea are playing well at the moment, and they're winning an awful lot of games off the spin, and they've got relatively easy features coming up over the next couple of match days. But let's not forget, they were hammered at Emirates Stadium, and at that stage we thought there's no way that this team is going to challenge for the title. We all thought they're not even going to finish top four. Things can turn around quickly. We can't get too down about it. I'm sure we'll get the squad strength. We have got the squad strength to make it through. And I don't think there's that much of a concern that we'll be challenging. If this happened in March, then it's a different question. But as Nick's pointed out, this is December. We've got a busy period coming up, points to collect. We've got players who can step up and hopefully prove their worth. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, come through this period into January, an FA Cup third round and beyond, and we'll be, you know, sitting probably off the pace, yes, but still within touching distance.
Wise and hopefully prophetic words from Dan, and of course from Nick as well. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us as ever on the Arsenal Weekly podcast.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Well, left-back Kieran Gibbs is one of Arsenal's longest-serving players now and was handed the captain's armband in this season's EFL Cup campaign. He's been speaking to Arsenal media's Chris Harris about his pride in leading the team.
Just want to finish off, Kieran, and mention about the captaincy, because you had the armband this season. What does that mean to you, and what does it do to drive you forward?
Yeah, well, obviously I've been at the club for a long time now, so it's just an honour to be part of that group of players that have led the team out, and something that, you know, everyone wants to do, every kid wants to do, and it's a lot different than on the day being captain than like being just not the captain, because you have to be first everywhere and make sure everyone's ready and stuff, so obviously that extra responsibility, like the first time you do it, is a bit different, but no, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I loved it.
Does it change the way you are on the pitch as well?
I mean, not for me really. I don't like, I will only speak, I speak when I need to tell someone, give someone information, or give someone a little boost when I can and stuff like that. I don't really, I haven't, the games that I've played as captain, I felt like it's the same for me.
Are you a big talker generally, or do you, are you a bit quieter on the pitch?
On the pitch, if there's a break in play and stuff, and I feel tactically we need to change something, I'll tell the player, like I'll say something to someone. I mean, I feel that we can always improve on like speaking to each other on the pitch. I mean, everyone can, but yeah, I mean, it's something that we want to improve on as well, because it can only benefit the team.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold. Would you believe it?
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's off for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 21st of December 1991, Arsenal beat Everton 4-2 at Highbury, with Ian Wright scoring all four of the Gunners' goals.
The Swedish international then to take the corner that he earned himself. And it's turned in by Ian Wright for an equaliser, which is an instant response from Arsenal. They've been behind for barely a minute. And the set piece did the trick. Everton couldn't cope with it at the near post. And off Wright's body and in. Beardsley. Limpar had held his position, looked along the line to stay onside. Clinical goal for Arsenal, but right again. No complaints from Everton as to whether the linesman was correct in his judgment here. They've accepted the punishment for playing too square at the back. And Limpar attacking at speed, but looking up, that was the crucial thing, to see where Wright was. He found him and he found the back of the net. Dixon. Well, to get the pass away, and what a dangerous pass it's turned out to be. Limpar. And Wright has struck home a hat-trick for Arsenal. A terrific first half here at Highbury. But Limpar is leading Everton a merry dance. He's set up all three for Ian Wright, and it's 3-2 to Arsenal. Smith, always aware of the positioning of other players, and in this game, all the Arsenal team aware of what Limpar can do. He really is in an impish mood. It's the same story. Limpar to Wright. Goal for Arsenal. Four of them now. Well, Ian Wright will grab the headlines for a marvellous showing of opportunism, but Limpar has been the perfect provider.
And as Limpar set up all four of those goals, and Wrighty quick to acknowledge him post-match.
That was down to Anders, all of them really. He put all four of them on a plate for me. You know, I just had to get in the box and be there, you know, and he done well for me that day, because I didn't play particularly well. You know, I didn't play well at all, and he done well for me, Anders.
Ian would go on to score 185 goals in 288 Arsenal appearances and was the club's all-time record goal scorer prior to a certain Thierry Henry.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Well, Adrian Clark joins me at the Chalkboard. Clark here, full of festive cheer, getting ready for the big day. How's it going? On track?
Kind of on track. Yeah, a little bit of a setback, wasn't it, at the weekend? That's put a sort of Christmas cheer on hold. Bit of a downer, but we'll pick ourselves up, and hopefully, yeah, the festive period will bring about some wins, some points, and we can all move on.
So turkey and trimmings on Christmas Day, followed by a hat load of points.
That'll do nicely.
Talking of which, our question on the Chalkboard: West Brom, talk about that in a moment on Boxing Day. Mm. Then I'm just going to list you all of Arsenal's opponents from there across January in the Premier League. Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, Swansea, Burnley, Watford. No disrespect to any of them, but non-pushing for the title or the top four, you'd have thought. There's 18 points up for grabs there, and 18 very viable points. How many do you think they'll get?
I think we will get 16 out of 18. I'd say you're probably bound to pick up one draw along the way. Maybe Bournemouth away is a tricky game. But it could be 18. It could be 6 out of 6. I'd see no reason why not. I actually think the next two could be among the, well, the next three could be among the trickier. A, because it's really hard for every team when you play back-to-back games in such a short space of time. So you have to rotate. It's hard for other teams as well, by the way, so it's not just us. But I do think Palace are showing a lot. Well, they need to show a bit of fight. West Bromwich Albion are in decent form. They really are. And their strength set pieces is a mild concern. And Bournemouth, even though they were beaten by Southampton in their last home game, they're no mugs, are they? So I'm confident it'll be at least 16, but we might have one or two little minor scares and frustrations along the way.
And that is probably the kind of bare minimum haul that Arsenal will need to keep themselves not just in the title race after what's happened the last 5 or 6 days, but to be more deep back into it.
Yeah, they need it. It's as simple as that, because Chelsea have stretched their lead. Liverpool don't look like messing up in a hurry. All the other teams are actually picking up wins, aren't they? City, Spurs, United. They've all had a good week, while Arsenal have had a really horrible, horrible week, a time to forget. Actually, it's not a time to forget. I think it's a time to learn about yourselves. And I do hope that the team just analyse where it's gone wrong over the last couple of games, and so that they can try and avoid the mistakes that they've made in matches moving forward. It's been quite a chastening 180 minutes or so for the team, but they're good enough to bounce back.
So to West Brom we focus, the game on the 26th. Very good at beating teams in and around their sort of mid-table position and beneath. Mm. Not so great when they play the very best. I think the Man United game proved that, but they've got an awful lot now under Tony Pulis, haven't they?
They're much better. I've never been a Tony Pulis fan. I've written many articles lambasting his style of play, and I think it's been a really frustrating period actually for Baggies fans, because they've just not been entertained. It's been so defensive, and this is the big but, he has brought in a bit more quality this season, and he's actually having the bravery to use some of the guys that have got creative juices. I'm thinking of Nasser Chadli, Matty Phillips has come in, Darren Fletcher is not a bad player, he was a good acquisition, Rondon is a class centre forward, so he's added players that can create goals out of nothing. He's brought in Morrison in from the cold. I think he's an underrated player on the ball, so I'm not going to apologise to Tony Pulis, but I think he has changed his ways a little bit, and for that reason they've climbed the table. They've got more 3-point hauls than they ordinarily would do.
Well, if Tony's listening, Tony, I'm sorry on Adrian's behalf, if nothing else, at least if he's trying to use this podcast for a bit of inside knowledge. At the back, you've got kind of these veterans, haven't you? And, you know, the likes of Jonas Olsen, they're solid players, Gareth McCauley, and they just know what to do in these kind of situations if selected.
Yeah, well, they're very organised. They don't make that many obvious mistakes. They'll sit deep because they have to. They're not very quick. So it's important that Arsenal don't fall into the trap. I actually think, as much as I've just praised West Bromwich Albion for their attacking style this season, I think when they come away to Emirates Stadium, I can only see a narrow back four defending deep with bodies back in numbers. So I don't think we should expect something radical. Evans is the pick of the bunch. I think Johnny Evans is a really good player. I think Olsen's just a weak link. I think McCauley, he has his good and bad days. And the
Craig Dawson I quite like.
Yeah, the fullbacks I think are get-attable because they're not especially mobile, but they're solid defenders. Neom and Dawson are good at defending. But if Arsenal can move them around, get 1v1s, isolate them, we can have a field day. United had a lot of success in those areas.
OK, so that's a good look at what West Brom bring to the table. I'd add a good goalkeeper in Ben Foster in there as well.
Yes.
What could they do to potentially hurt Arsenal, particularly in light of what we've seen with the way the Everton and Man City games panned out, particularly in the second halves?
Yeah, we haven't dealt brilliantly with crosses in recent matches, that is for sure. And West Bromwich Albion deliver good crosses. In Chris Brunt, who's back from injury in recent weeks, well, actually, I don't think it's a coincidence. Their improvement has come about since he's returned. Got one of the best left foots in the Premier League. Not a lot of people talk about Chris Brunt, but he can hang across into the box more accurately than most. And he did it to good effect in the recent game against Swansea. Rondon scored a couple of headers. And his set pieces are fabulous. And that is a concern for me, because Arsenal, Not a big team, and they will swing set pieces into the 6-yard box. Well, it's nothing fancy, there's nothing clever about it. They literally fizz it underneath the crossbar and crowd that area with big fellas. Arsenal have got to deal with it and they've got to really concentrate hard. I think actually the best way to deal with it is to avoid giving free kicks and corners away at all costs. Kick the ball out for a throw-in if it's 50-50. Do not give away cheap corners because they're very, very dangerous.
OK, so with all of that in mind then, what would be your key head-to-head battle?
Well, yeah, I think there'll be some really interesting head-to-head battles actually in that area at set pieces. I think I'm looking at the need to keep Rondon quiet and I'm going to pick out Gabriel against Rondon because Gabriel, I don't think he's done a lot wrong particularly, but all eyes are on him because since Mustafi has got injured, the team has lost a couple of games. And I think he's under a little bit of pressure to produce a commanding performance. And Rondon's dangerous. He's a good all-round centre-forward. He can run the channels. He can score in the air. He's got a little trick up his sleeve. Holds the ball. Gabriel and Koscielny, but I'm talking about Gabriel, they need to deal with him very, very carefully because if they switch off, lose concentration, Arsenal will concede a goal. And in the current climate, that's not going to be ideal. So it's a big battle.
Is there an argument to play Rob Holding in this game?
No, I don't think there's any need to drop Gabriel. Okay. I don't think he's done anything to warrant that. But all eyes are on him. Okay. So he needs a good game.
In a sentence, Adrian Clark, how do you beat West Brom?
Well, you beat West Brom by showing fight, above all else. You have to battle. It's an old cliche, win the battle first and the quality will shine through. It applies to most matches. And Arsenal haven't won the battle in the last couple of games, not physically, not mentally. They've got to win that first and foremost in this game. And if they do, they'll be too good.
Having been lambasted in person on regular occurrences for his rather dubious attire, some of the things he said, done, you name it, the Arsenal Weekly podcast producer Liam Roberts has decided to hide away and join us on the phone this week. I can't really blame him, Clarky, can you?
No, not at all.
Well, a man that we normally like to a little bit of cajole, bit of jape, bit of fun with in person is the Arsenal Weekly podcast editor Liam Roberts. Colourful attire, some witty repartee. Liam has ducked out of the firing line. He can't face the banter face to face.
It's a no-show.
So he's hiding behind a telephone line. Liam, what's
morning,
going on?
Morning, fellas. Hey, yeah, it's the glamorous life of a podcast producer. I'm currently fixing new doors on my house. So
living the dream, ended. Liam.
But
living
you are clothed.
Yeah, this is my life now. This
you are clothed, life. I trust.
Half-clothed.
Liam, tell us more. Tell us what's going on with our ongoing competition.
OK, so this was the last one before the Christmas break. Going into it, Russ, you had a one-point lead. I asked you guys last week, double game week, how many times would Alexis and Ozil pass to each other?
Yeah.
And Adrian, you said?
29, I think.
Yep, and Russ, you said?
I think I said 23.
That sounds about right. The exact number, it was in the 20s, so you're both close. It Ooh. Was 29.
Oh!
Adrian Clark pulls it out of the bag. Amazing.
Nailed it.
You've got a Hail Mary, you've got a three-pointer. You've got the Holy Grail.
Oh, look.
After
the disappointment of the Manchester City and Everton defeats, I can't lie, that has just lifted my spirits no end.
Oh, my God, I'm behind for the first time all season and it's for 2 or 3 weeks to ponder and... Oh, God, I've got a Christmas period of being behind.
Right, yeah, come on then, what's the next challenge?
We're actually going to take a break now. So, Adrian, you can enjoy this for a couple of weeks. So, Merry Christmas. That's our present to you.
Oh, it's going to be bitter turkey, sour pudding for me. Oh,
just deal with it, Russ. Come back
flat
stronger.
Flat new year, flat champagne.
Come back stronger in 2017.
Oh, blooming well, goody, mate. Oh, Clarkie, look forward to being alongside you in the commentary box, of course, for that West Brom game.
Yeah, have a good Christmas.
Likewise.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Kieran Gibbs, to Dan Roebuck, Nick Brumsack and to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review in the process. You can find us on Acast these days as well, so you've never got the excuse to miss another episode. We're back on Wednesday the 28th of December. Until then, it's bye for now. And come on, you Gunners.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.